Poslušalce vabimo, da to nedeljo ob 10. jutranji uri prisluhnejo oddaji V pogledu Evropski parlament. V dveh kratkih intervjujih bomo z evroposlancema Alejandrom Kerkasom in Jean Lambert predstavili problem sistemskega podaljševanja delovnega časa, ki je pred nekaj meseci na ulicah Bruslja združil evropske sindikate. Direktiva o podaljšanem delovnem času. V zadnjih nekaj mesecih je med Evropskim parlamentom na eni strani in Evropskim svetom na drugi strani potekala silovita debata o direktivi o delovnem času. Evropski svet, v katerem so zbrani predstavniki vlad držav Evropske unije, je na vsak način želel prepričati predstavniški dom ta iste organizacije, da morajo določeni udi naše družbe na delovnem mestu preživeti več kot 48 ur tedensko. Zgodovino celotnega procesa nam bo sicer kasneje predstavil eden od sogovornikov. Naj pa povemo, da tako imenovani opt-out oziroma direktiva o izjemah delovnega časa v Evropski uniji velja že od davnega leta 1993. Velika Britanija je takrat uspela doseči posebne koncesije, s katerimi je v svojem pravnem redu obdržala možnost daljšega delovnega tedna. Te koncesije pa danes več kot uspešno zlorabljajo tudi ostale države članice. Z direktivo o podaljšanem času se želijo evropske institucije dokončno dogovoriti o delovnem času zdravniškega ceha. Ni skrivnost, da v zdravniških poklicih prihaja do sistemskega podaljševanja delovnega časa. Kljub pritiskom strani vlad držav je Evropski parlament že dvakrat zavrnil možnost uzakonjenja predloga. V evropredvolilnem času bi sprejetje tovrstne zakonodaje verjetno pomenilo tudi politično smrt strank. Kljub temu, da je večina poslancev zavrnila predlog o podaljšanju delovnega časa, pa so najbolj turbulentne čase doživljali poslanci Evropske ljudske stranke, največje poslanske skupine v Evropskem parlamentu. Zato bo zanimivo spremljati prve pogovore o dotični temi v naslednjem sklicu parlamenta. Podporo izjemam v podaljšanem delovnem času pa je leta 2008 podalo tudi naše Ministrstvo za družino, delo in socialne zadeve na čelu z ministrico Marjeto Cotman. Uskladitev med vladami o direktivi je bila ob slovenskem predsedovanju Uniji predstavljena kot največji uspeh predsedovanja. Po debaklu v Evropskem parlamentu je tematika iz slovenske politike povsem izginila. Pozornega poslušalca bi opozoril na dejstvo, da v kampanji za evropske volitve niti ena od strank ni načela vprašanja, ki se tiče nekaj milijonov zdravstvenih delavcev po vsej Evropi. Nekonzervativne, ne socialliberalne stranke o vprašanju delovnega časa niso spregovorile niti besede. Sedaj pa prisluhnimo našemu prvemu sogovorniku, Alejandru Kerkasu, iz vrst Evropske ljudske stranke. Alejandro je bil v Evropskem parlamentu poročevalec o tej tematiki in zato predstavlja najbolj kompetentno osebo pri razlagi gordijskega vozla o delovnem času. Kot boste slišali, španski poslanec kategorično zavrača možnost podaljševanja delovnega časa, kar za velik del ostalih poslancev Evropske ljudske stranke ni moč trditi. Intervju smo posneli za časa našega vandranja po poslopju Evroparlamenta v Strasburu.
Why did the both the council and the commission put out this proposition of a longer working week up to 72 hours?
No, it's necessary to know first of all the history of this directive. I think I'm in a good position to give you all the story. In 92, I was president of the council, and we negotiate that time the first directive on working time. The legal basis is health and safety for workers. And 92, United Kingdom was in a difficult position because in the year before, Great Britain did not sign social charter of fundamental rights. And this is what's discussing this directive. And if United Kingdom didn't sign the directive, it will be in a very complicated situation. So the Council decides as a political solution to accept the opting out as an exception, according to two conditions. First, United Kingdom should ratify the social charter, and United Kingdom ratify next year the social charter in 94. And second, this directive will be revised in 2 years. Special in this point concerns the opting out. So, in political terms, I remember some of the ministers who were at that council, Jean-Claude Juncker, the present Prime Minister of Luxembourg, Martine Aubry, now is the leader of the socialist political group in France, and Bert Ayern, it was Prime Minister also in Ireland. I was president of the council during that time, and I remember very well that opting out was a solution, but not as a rule. It was an exception to solve a concrete problem for my kingdom. This was the principle. The years were passed, and when I came to the parliament, my political party decided to appoint me as a shadow rapporteur. So you know the story. And this is the key point because there are no agreement. Because now a minority of countries, Germany, United Kingdom, Poland, and other small countries, they form a minority of blockage in the council, and they want to introduce the rule of opting out not as an exception, but as a rule, a general rule. For me, it's clear that if you accept this, you are introducing a mechanism for no regulation at all of the European labor market. I don't accept that labor market should be regulated, other markets, especially this one. And we are speaking not about economic things, we are speaking about social issues and protection in what concerns health and safety of the workers. So this is the point. It was not possible to accept this because it's not only a question of no regulation, it's more important because you want to attack one of the principles of the European social model. Because, you know, labor contracts in the labor market are not similar to other contracts, because in general contracts, the parts are equal, are in the same position. In labor market, we introduce the discipline of labor law because we know that one of the parts is in a weak position when you compare to the other. And I don't accept that opting out, the defenders of opting out, want to imagine with argument of freedom that the parts are in equal position. We know if you need a job and it comes to meet you a job and they put your paper, I give you a job, but you should sign this. You sign, of course. You are not completely free because you need the job. So this was a key point. Another points were also important. For example, the point concerns on-call time. We respect the decision of the Court of Justice. in this point we're near of an agreement, because we think that for us opting the on-call time is all the time is working time. You can be paid in different way, but if you are waiting in the hospital, waiting for an urgency or something like that, you are not free. It's working time. If you are paid in a different way, okay, according to traditions, according to each member state, what they want to do, okay, I can accept. But to tell that it's not working time is something very strange. Yeah? We are quite near of the agreement, but in the end, the council changed position, and even this, that point, there was no possible agreement. Another point also, it was a point concerning the mutual contracts. It's a very important point, because you can sign one contract here, another contract there, another contract there. A doctor, for example. If you have a son, and your son needs a surgery, if you know that the doctor was working during 3 days without sleeping, you are not happy. You don't want it. The stock can put the ends on your son, of course. So we defend it's not by contracts, but by person. Even we try to put this as a considerandum in the final solution. Even the considerandum the council did not accept. So it was impossible to have an agreement with the rigidity. Parliament, we proposed a lot of solutions. But it was a question of principles. I don't want to put my name in agreement when, for me, the solution and the proposal comes is against of one of the most important principles of the European social model. I can accept this.
Of human rights.
Of course, we do that.
So it's interesting. I mean, it's really nice that the whole European Parliament stood together at this.
Yes, no, in my political party it was divisions, but okay. I support always this. I think that majority of my political party is not my opinion, but almost 100 members of my political party vote with me. It's the reason that in second reading you have this great rotation, because if EPP, if myself would ask to my people to vote with me, we have not a qualified majority. The qualified majority in second reading, the bridge were thinking always that it was not possible to have a great majority, but I was very strong with my colleagues to convince them, and I have more or less 100 colleagues on my political party who vote with me and with socialists, so it was the reason that you have a clear majority. Now let's see what happens in the future. The Commission should present another proposal, perhaps. I don't know. What
will exactly, this will be my next question. Mm-hmm. Is this also a sort of stand before the elections? That maybe
it depends on the Commission, with the next mm-hmm. Commission. Now I can tell you this. But I think that there are problems with that. So the Commission will make a review, an examination about all the possibilities. It depends also on the majority of the parliament in the next mandate. I don't know if it maintains this kind of... I'm not here, I don't be a candidate for next mandate, so I don't know what happens in the future. So it's... I don't know, but probably the Commission will present a new proposal.
Just for the last question, your comment on the fact that in a lot of companies today, the working hours are reducing. Or
of course.
36, 32, why, no, because, this
because
why this discrepancy?
This is a stupid thing, because they speak about flexibility. Mm-hmm. Opting out is nothing with flexibility, because flexibility is about the way that you can calculate the average time. We talk 48 hours, but 48 hours you can work 50 hours in 1 week and 46 in next week. If the average calculate 1 month, we have some capacity of maneuver, but our proposal was the annualization, so it's an average in 1 year. So you can work 72 hours, you know. The possibility of flexibility is so big, so fantastic, that I know that any member state can take all the advantage of this flexibility. So opting out is nothing with flexibility. Also opting out is nothing with productivity and competitiveness, because the problem is not working more. Is working better. Competitiveness is related with more investments, technology, leadership, organizational enterprise. This is the fact most impacted. To work more and more hours is not. This is slavery. Is to go to other centers before. is nothing with competitiveness. The competitiveness would work better. And you know, if you are working 8 hours, 10 hours to make the same thing, it will be the probability of accidents will be better, the probability of mistakes will be better also, or will be more. What about the problems that you are discussing here in the Parliament and in European institutions about relations between family life and labor? How it's possible to consider? I think it's the way that it has to work more and more. And this is a question of freedom. No, it's not a question of freedom. It's a question of slavery.
Yeah.
I can't find any kind of argument, even in economic terms, that support this idea of United Kingdom.
Thank you. Maybe just my last comment on this, that philosopher Zizek from Slovenia, better known in France and England, said that probably capitalism will be stronger after this crisis and not weaker. So maybe
I have nothing against this, but problem is capitalism, but not capitalism as with rules. I have nothing with capitalism, but I have nothing with market, but it's necessary rules. And the crisis that you are living now is because it was a lack of rules in financial markets. Because if there was rules, we are not in that situation. It was a lack of rules, just a lack of supervision, a lack of this kind of problems of the situation is the response for our days now that we are living. So I have nothing against capitalism. I am supportive of a free market, but with rules, and there are limits on that. And one of the limits is health of the workers, of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. The pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to me. A working class hero is something to me. You're so fucking crazy, you can't follow the rules. And a working class hero is something to me. Working class hero is something to me. And scared you for 20 odd years. Then they expect you to pick a career. And you can't really function, you're so full of fear. Working class hero is something to me. Hero is something to be. Keep your dope with religion and
Drugo sogovornico v Evropskem parlamentu smo našli med predstavniki zelenih. Jean Lambert, poslanka iz Londona, je bila do predloga Evropske skupnosti ravno tako kritična.
What's your party opinion on the co-opt issue?
The opt-out.
Exactly.
We took a very strong position on the opt-out, that we wanted an end to the opt-out, both as an end to the opt-out, both as a political choice and as a sort of a matter of just ordinarily proceeding, you know, like it is in the UK, where it's a very common thing in the UK.
How's your relation with your government on this issue? Because I believe that the United Great Britain is the first one on this question, where they want that it goes through, and not just Great Britain. I heard also some other countries.
They were supported by Poland, Germany, and one or two other countries. But I mean, it's made things very difficult with the British government. I mean, you know, I'm a Green, not a Labour member, but I know that members of the Labour Party were put under tremendous pressure by the British government. You know, it's not every day that the Prime Minister rings them up mm-hmm. to try and persuade them to vote in a particular way. And, you know, for me, I thought it was a dreadful thing that the Labour Party, yeah. which has its roots in the trades union movement, mm-hmm. Some of the initial issues that it was involved in were about reducing working time. Mm-hmm. You know, for a Labour government to actually want to keep the opt-out was just incredible.
Yeah. It's like going back 100 years.
Yeah. You know, and this idea that somehow it's worker choice is absolute rubbish.
Is it possible that after the elections, this parliament unity on this issue, mm. because it is a big unity of almost all parties, will be somehow changed?
I think it is possible that it will change after the next election. I think it's quite possible that we shall see a stronger move to the right. After the next elections, which means as well that there'll be more people here who think that workers' rights are a barrier to the free market, or who think that this is something that should be decided at national level.
I spoke to Mr. José da Silva Pineda yesterday, and he told me about some fights inside People's Party.
Yes.
And that I was quite surprised what kind of stand he took mm-hmm. inside the People's Party. So these parties will be probably the first that will, after the elections, think on maybe even accepting this proposition.
It's possible. I mean, there were very big divisions in the PPE. But, for example, for the Spanish, I was told by them that for them it was inconceivable that you should not limit people's working time. That for them this was absolutely normal. So I think those fights may continue. And of course what you may have then, if you have this new additional grouping from the right with the British Conservatives and the Czech Conservatives and so on, you will then maybe see moves to, you know, to split the PPE even further on this. And it's also a question that you have to watch what will happen with the Liberals.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe a theoretical question. Is a 40 or 48-hour week a human right, should be in a human rights charter, a working week?
No, I don't think it should be in the human rights charter, because I think there are differences you know, about the working week in terms of the sort of work that you do, all of those sorts of issues. You know, very hard physical work is a different... is a different thing to or autonomous working, etc. I mean, I think you should be able to argue that working hours should be limited, but I do think that, you know, there are certainly very strong reasons why 60 hours a week is very bad for you. It can be bad for your health. Once you get a bit below that, it's less clear where the marker comes. So
How would you comment on the fact that a lot of companies today are reducing the number, the working week, as we are in the crisis, and many companies reduce to even 32 hours a week?
Yeah, I mean, they
this is a discrepancy between...
Yeah, but I mean, what they would say is, well, this is short-term. Once consumption picks up again, you know, we'll be working longer. I mean, obviously, for the Greens, there are issues there about how much you want consumption to increase and what sort of consumption. But I think, you know, it will be quite interesting to see if people feel that they still have enough money to live on. I mean, and this has been one of the arguments with working time, that we're able to talk about working time, we're not able to introduce, you know, a minimum wage, for example. That's very clearly a member state issue. So there are those tensions, but I think it will be very interesting to see sort of whether people want to go back to longer working hours. And of course, there's also the difference that quite often those shorter working hours are actually, they are in companies which are producing, whether it's cars, whether it's, you know, washing machines, whatever. In companies which are providing services, and where people are not paid by the hour, I think that what you may see is people actually being pushed to work longer hours because those companies won't recruit more staff. So I think you're going to see a widening of divisions there.
Well, maybe for the last question, philosopher Slavoj Žižek said that capitalism as we knew it in the past few years will turn even stronger after this crisis.
I don't see that. I think that what this crisis will do will remind people about how important it is to have good public services, to have good social security systems, because you're going to find people now reliant on social security who maybe a few months ago would never have imagined that they would need to know how much unemployment benefit actually is. And I think that certainly the experience in the UK is that for a lot of people who have been quite highly paid, they are now really shocked at how low the level of public support is in financial terms. So I think this might, I don't think it's necessarily a strengthening of capitalism. I think, you know, if you get it right, it actually helps people to understand the social solidarity side.
Do you think that the West countries can learn something from the East, former communist socialism countries that had a good social system? I'm from Slovenia, because we had a bit different system than, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it varies. Yeah. I think it varies very much, both between Western systems and between East and within Eastern systems, that there are still some of the systems which are actually still quite weak in terms of social solidarity, both East and West. And I think this will be a time when the countries that have got those stronger social systems, whether it's Slovenia, whether it's Denmark, you know, we have a lot to, we should be looking to see how they cope with this crisis, I think. And countries where, you know, the social systems have been very, very, very weak. It will be interesting to see sort of, you know, how the public responds.
Evropski parlament je pogledal Igor. Poslušalce vabimo, da to nedeljo ob 10. jutranji uri prisluhnejo oddaji V pogledu Evropski parlament. V dveh kratkih intervjujih bomo z evroposlancema Alejandrom Kerkasom in Jean Lambert predstavili problem sistemskega podaljševanja delovnega časa, ki je pred nekaj meseci na ulicah Bruslja združil evropske sindikate.
Студенти мига.